Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Assistant Editor Skylar Jeremias. A market structure and incentives are critical in ensuring that companies that develop medications, like biosimilars, have a competitive environment to thrive. Several countries in Europe implement tender systems, which are used to limit which brand name products get a piece of the market share pie, and often discourages unsuccessful competitors from contending in the future. However, two representatives from Medicines for Europe designed a scorecard of European markets to show which ones are robust and competitive, and which ones fall short. We sat down with Adrian Van Hoven, Director General of Medicines for Europe, and Diogo Paidade, Market Access Manager for Medicines for Europe, to discuss their scorecard report for biosimilar access and what European countries they feel need the most work. So, to start off, what led you to put this report together?
Well, I think, as you know, the European market has been under development for a few years now. So there's been kind of some growth in some areas and some difficulties in other areas. And what we wanted to do was really a kind of assessment of which policies were having a positive benefit in terms of patient access to biologics and which ones were having less of a benefit. We also tried to look at it from the perspective of the sustainability, how sustainable the market would be over time. We've done a few reports before, but we've never gone this deep into the specific measures to see how effective they are, whether there are any benefits of the different policy tools that can be put into place, and also to try and understand the interconnection between different policy measures applied together to make it work in practice and adapt it to slightly different situations in each European country. Because as you know, we have a so-called single market in Europe, but we have different pricing and reimbursement systems ultimately.
I can add one great thing about the study here and this project is if you look through it, it's a very visual tool. Whenever you look into these policy aspects, it can get very technical and very heavy very quickly. So we wanted to create a tool that it acts as a conversation starter. So you at glance can quickly look at one of the country scorecards, one of the 12 countries, and really look what are the areas where policy improvements can be made and what are the areas where, in terms of biosimilar policy, that country is faring better and not so good. And then in the back of the scorecards, then you have a little bit more of an explanation of what are those areas that are good, can be improved, and then possible solutions for that improvement.
Did you not see a need to create a scorecard for every country in Europe?
We would have liked to have done all the countries, but even this number of countries and going to this level of detail was a pretty intense level of activity. The other thing is biosimilar policies are a little bit in motion. So countries that are failing, let's say that are not succeeding in getting biosimilar uptake, they're obviously starting to introduce changes and learn from the others and contacting us, how do we do this, et cetera. So as you work on one of these reports, it's a kind of moving target as well. So it's a pretty intense activity. And so it would have been a pretty heavy exercise to go after all of the countries. I think what we capture here is the majority of the market and a good subset of case studies. If you take all of these countries combined, you can more or less apply the different models in the other markets because there are some similarities across different European markets. Yoga, you want to add something there?
I think the selection of countries were very much in that direction. So in the impossibility of capturing all European countries, what we did was obviously we went for the top five EU countries. So the EU5, we took the Nordics because they are regarded as leaders in biosimilars. So we wanted to take a deeper look and see what can be improved from their experience. We took to CEE, where it's Central and Eastern Europe, an area where we know that they have quite a challenging landscape in terms of patient access still. And then we looked at the Netherlands, which is a country that has a bit of a different system and a different model compared to all the others. So we tried to capture, if you will, different major groups within Europe to give a good understanding on how the policies play a role there.
Can you give us some examples of markets that are ahead or behind?
I can point out one country where I'd like to see some action. That's definitely Poland. So I mentioned oncology biosimilars. And in Poland, for example, they have very heavy restrictions on expensive medicines. This is to obviously control the budget. But what it means is that you have an incredibly low access to first-line biologic treatments like trastuzumab. And we've seen that although they have biosimilar uptake or biosimilar competition, they haven't removed the restrictions to access. So basically, the government has lower prices, but it doesn't have higher use. And this is really a sad situation because the level of access is so low that it really means a lot of patients are not getting the correct treatment. So that's something I'd really like to see, is that in countries where biosimilars definitely have a price lowering effect on the market, that in those markets, they give those benefits back to the patients in terms of expanded use to deal with those access issues. That's one market that definitely comes to mind. Maybe Diogo, you'd like to add something on another market.
Yeah, no, I think Adrian, Poland is a good example. I think one interesting point in the study is that for each country, then you have a detailed analysis in the back and points that can be improved. I also don't want to go scorecard by scorecard. There's 12 of them. What could be maybe interesting as well to understand is even those countries where you would assume that the biosimilar framework is fully functioning, it's faring better, even those, they have points of improvement. So Norway, which is frequently regarded as one of the champions, there are indeed some positive aspects. But for example, they still, despite having good uptake in the hospital setting, they still lag in the retail setting because the biosimilar is not yet fully developed or implemented. And then for other European countries, quite a similar picture, where what is interesting and striking is that depending on the national context, you'll see very different recommendations from one scorecard to the other, so from one country to the other, because the policy framework and the different interplay between national framework and the policies implemented will have different recommendations and points of improvement.
Maybe I could add one more example here. In some European countries, we have a form of national hospital tendering, where a tendering buyer buys on behalf of the hospitals. And those systems have been pretty effective to generate a high level of competition, even up to 100% market share for the biosimilar. Pretty positive to stimulate biosimilar competition. The downside with those systems is that if you are not the winner of the tender, you have a tendency to want to exit that market altogether and not participate in, let's say, the tender the next year. And over time, what that leads to is a reduction in the number of companies that want to participate in the different markets. And so we're starting to see now some experiments with countries or systems like that trying to introduce multi-winner tenders so that the lowest bidder gets a bigger market share, gets a bigger benefit, but the next one down can also participate in the market. So we're seeing this being toyed with or experimented with in Denmark, in UK. And we think those are good initiatives because we still believe that even after have biosimilar competition, keeping competitors in the market, keeping a healthy competitive market is a good thing, because that healthy competition will keep the market at bay over the long term. You may not get a dramatic short-term win, but you'll get a definite medium-term gain by having sustained competition.
Well, Adrian and Diogo, thank you for your insights, and thank you to our listeners for tuning in to this episode of Not So Different. You can find additional information in the show notes, and until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.